weekend. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal. Just kidding. I love Hoagie. BT and Sal back on the Fan. If we get into that coming up in a little bit. Right now, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, we've been talking about Rex Ryan to the Jets. Obviously, he's interviewing today, a long list of candidates for the Jets. What are your thoughts on Rex potentially getting that job?
Well, I'm a Rex Ryan fan. I always have been. I was in Philly with his dad. You know, I'm a fan. I think the Jets should talk to him, period. I mean, he's the last guy to have real success in that building. And maybe he knows things that anybody that's interviewing him could learn going forward, whether they decide to bring him in or not. I know he wants a job really bad. And I'm sure
how'd you ever learn of that? I mean, did you hear him begging for it for the last month?
Well, you can't help. You know, I mean, yeah. Rex has a big mouth and he's not afraid to use it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'll tell you this, though. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. Honestly, I have no idea. The GM, I mean, all that stuff, you know, is in play. But honestly, I never get tired. I mean, if I'm just talking to Rex Ryan in a room, I never get tired of him talking football. Like, I know there's a lot of bluster and all of that, but he is a great defensive coordinator. And defense still does win you championships in big games. Like, I just like the guy. So I'm a fan. And I listened to all the other, I've seen all the other guys that they're interviewing. I don't know why Rex isn't as talented or as as good a candidate as any other guys being mentioned out there right now.
Well, Boldy, take the Jets out of it. I mean, Rex has been in a nice, cushy television studio. Everybody knows where he's been for basically 70% of a decade, but nobody's really been banging on his door to be a head coach. I mean, doesn't that tell you all you need to know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, he failed the last 4 years in New York. No question. And he wasn't good in Buffalo. And so, maybe his time ran out. But the roster is important and who your quarterback is. And, you know, he'll tell, you know, the people, before in part today, that I went to two AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez. And one of those years was his rookie year. I know how to run the ball. I know how to build a roster. I mean, he's going to tell them what I think we all know. This doesn't guarantee anything at this point. This league is changing rapidly. How you defend quarterbacks, the college game is a big part of the NFL. How you build your roster around the quarterback is really important. So, I mean, there's some things that maybe Rex isn't in touch with right now. Maybe the things that him and his dad and his brother believe in aren't the way to necessarily win right now.
Well, that was actually going to be the next question I asked you, so I'll ask you this. When you did talk a lot of football with Rex, and I'm sure those were great conversations, you ever talk about offense?
No. No, I just talk about defense.
But that's the thing, Baldy, right? Like, if I'm the Jets, don't you have to... Yeah. Like, for me, my criteria, and maybe yours is different, I'd be curious to get your thoughts, I want an experienced guy that has had success before, and if not bad, then I want an offensive mind. Rex is really... I know he's had some success, but I'm talking about, like, Pete Carroll Super Bowl winning success, not what Rex had winning some playoff games. Don't you think the Jets should, if anything, lean maybe more offense this time?
Well, look, if I wanted to run an offense in today's world, I'd take somebody from Sean McVay's staff. I mean, Liam Cohen, I mean, all these Dave Canales, Kevin Connolly, I think all these guys right now are winning in this business. So, that's the offense I would want. And I think Rex knows that that's kind of the winning offense. So, I mean, I would pair him with them. But, yeah, I mean, look, the argument is if you take a defensive guy, and you bring your offense coordinator in, and he has success, he's going to be a candidate to be a head coach someplace else next year, and then you're going to have to replace him. We see it happening all the time. It happened with Tampa Bay last year. They lost Canales. Now they got lucky. They brought in Liam Cohen. They've had actually a better offense than they ever had last year. And it was an upgrade at that position. But, I mean, that's the danger of going with a defensive guy.
Baldy, I'm going to give you a couple of names here. This for the Jets job, encompassing everything, where they are with the roster, blah, blah, blah. Just give me a quick first reaction on each of these names. You ready?
Yep.
Brian Flores, Jets.
I love him. I love him because I think he's the Bill Walsh of defense right now. His defense is spreading quickly around the league.
Okay.
And it's a fact. Even in the loss to Detroit the other night, I mean, they led the league in interceptions from 24. They got two against, Jared Goff the other night. And they had a bunch of tackle for losses and splash defensive plays. Now, the offense didn't do anything with it. But that is the new defense in this league.
Okay. I love him. Aaron Glenn.
I like Aaron Glenn, too, because you look at what he's doing with what he has lost. That's coaching. Like, he's taking guys off the street.
Yes.
And putting them in the line.
A lot of
he's
injuries.
A 5'8" corner.
Yeah.
That's been a slot corner his whole life. And putting him on Justin Jefferson, Amik Robertson, and shutting him down. Like, I like Aaron Glenn a great deal.
Matt Nagy.
I'm not as high on Matt, although I'm sure second time around, after going back to the nest with Andy Reid, that he would be a little bit better. But he is a creative offensive mind. Mm-hmm. I would say that.
Last one. How about Kingsbury for the Jets?
I love Cliff. My problem with Cliff, and I've known him since he was at Texas Tech, and I've known him a long time. He's having great fun. He's really just married to his quarterback and to his offense. I don't know that he can change their defensive. He's got to have a very strong defensive coordinator to be successful.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking to Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, we know Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are back. We know the Giants have the third pick in the draft. We know the owner said they better figure out a way to get a quarterback this year and win. Where do you think they go for that quarterback, whether it's the draft or free agency or trade? Who is going to be the franchise quarterback for the Giants next season?
Well, without even really studying the quarterback class that hard yet, there's not a quarterback in this draft worth the third pick. So now, but quarterbacks get overdrafted all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe one of these guys can become Bo Nix, or one of these guys can become Jane Daniels. I don't think so. But, that's what you're hoping. Or Michael Penix Jr. I don't see a quarterback with his ability in this draft at all. Either you overdraft somebody, maybe trade back and get somebody, but they're going to go high. Shador and Cam Ward are going to go high because there's eight teams that need quarterbacks right now. So they're going to go high and probably overdrafted. Maybe the Giants can get one, but then you go to the secondary market and, is that Kirk Cousins? He's going to be available. Is that Sam Darnold? He might be available after his performance the other night, but I kind of think Minnesota's going to try to re-sign him. I know he wants to be there. But, it's kind of slim pickings out there right now.
Well, you saw all the film, so if you need a quarterback next year, would you be interested in Rodgers?
No. I just think that he's not going to get any younger. We saw limitations this year. He can't put the ball through the tire the way he once used to. You can see the frustration in his face sometimes when he's hitting, Kenny Yeboah in the calf, that he should be hitting him in the hands going in the end zone.
Yep.
We see him throwing these interceptions that we're not accustomed to him seeing. But he's in a big hurry to get rid of the football. He's flicking the ball instead of driving it. I mean, I just think there's things that he has to deal with being 42 and not having the same ability that he once had. And I think that, although I saw him live on Sunday, he was excellent on Sunday. But I don't know what Miami was doing. Were they really playing hard? I mean, we saw him the week before. It was 40-0 against a legit team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're looking at a guy that can have moments still, for sure, like he had on Sunday. But, the week before, it was god-awful.
And Baldy, what about the thought? Because, he talked about this. I don't know if you saw Enigma, the docuseries on Netflix. He talked about this. Sal brought this up the other day as well. I think it's a good point. He never had a chance to regenerate because he went from getting hurt four snaps in to feverishly, even though it seemed crazy in hindsight, but feverishly rehabbing with a new procedure that was a little bit advanced to try to come back if the Jets made a playoff push last year, to grinding all offseason to get himself back. What about the thought with some conventional offseason rest that Rodgers' body's going to look a little different? I know he's older, but you don't think that that's possible?
No, it's possible. It's possible. We've seen him before the have a calf injury before he tore his Achilles, one off season, 2 years ago when he first got signed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then we saw multiple injuries this year that we know he had to deal with, and that's what pro football players do. They play through them. You don't say much about them. You just play through them. But we know that they were there. But we've seen, I mean, he might be different, but we've seen Favre, we see him drop off. We've seen Eli and Peyton fall off. We've seen Drew Brees fall off. I mean, we've seen one guy that weathered that 40-plus-year-old storm, and that was Tom Brady. And maybe Aaron could be that guy with an offseason, but it's a gamble. Because what if he comes back and he can't get out of his way and he can't escape the rush and he's not throwing it the way he once used to be able to throw it? Like, it's a gamble to invest, because it's an investment saying, okay, he's our stopgap quarterback until we find our, Jaden Daniels for the future.
Problem is, what are the other options? We said the same thing for the Giants. Well, you'd say the same thing for the Jets. Who the hell is going to be the quarterback then?
I agree. Some years there's four of them, like there were this year or more. You know, I mean, I think the three that really flourished, Penix the last 3 weeks, Bo Nix in the playoffs, Jaden Daniels in the playoffs. I don't see that in this year's draft. And sometimes they just don't have those guys in the draft. They're just not, there's not one, there's not two, there's not three. We've seen plenty of drafts like that. And maybe there's somebody that we're not talking about that can become, their quarterback that we haven't really begun to investigate.
What about the kid from Penn State if he comes out?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think Aller is, a good prospect. I mean, I'm going to watch him, on Thursday night and see what he does against Notre Dame. I mean, we're all going to kind of watch him during this game. That would be like his first big test.
Yeah.
It's a semifinal game. He's got basically baby Gronk at tight end for him. You can throw the ball to Ty Warren every play. You can't go wrong. He's 6'7", 260, and he runs like a deer. Like, I mean, I just throw it to that kid every play. But, like, that's going to be a good game to kind of watch and study and see if you can get excited about him right now.
Thank you,
Bolt. I don't know if Drew Aller is coming out or not right now, but I'm sure a great game is going to sort of make a decision for him.
Yeah, and if Notre Dame kicks their ass, then maybe he stays in college one more year. Thank you, Boldy.
Maybe if Notre Dame kicks his ass, you take Riley Leonard. Like, I just knew that kid at Duke was really good. He's really good at Notre Dame right now, too.
All right, Boldy, we look forward to the wild card weekend and even the college football playoff games. We'll talk to you next week. We appreciate the time, as always.
Good job, bud.
As always, guys, yep. Happy New Year. You bet.
You too.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Now, I know Baldy was high on Michael Penix Jr., but he mentioned it. Like, last year, that's why, BT, I can't let it go. Even if you let all the mistakes before that go that the Giants made, they needed a quarterback last year.
Yep.
Like, the same thing that Mara is now telling this regime now, I was telling him last year before the draft. You need a quarterback. Get a quarterback. So how come I, a know-nothing talk show host, can figure out that the Giants needed a quarterback in a quarterback-rich draft? They don't take a quarterback. They take a wide receiver. A year later, after the most embarrassing year in the 100-year history of the franchise, the owner is now saying, you need to take a quarterback. Now there aren't any good options. It's just a freaking mess, potentially beyond repair.
You should be the GM.
I think they'd be in a better spot. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, get more of your calls. 888-808-1019 is the... Are they hiring? My number, I can give you my number.